coming up on Thunder Pop.
And here we go with episode number 18. Oh, wait, 19.
19.
Yeah, we're almost getting into, like, drinking age.
Yes. Woo, we just became adults.
We just became adults. We graduated a little late.
Mm-hmm.
We got after being put back, but we're out now and we're adults, and we can very soon we're gonna be able to drink. Right now we still have to get people to get like adults to buy us alcohol.
Hang out outside the gas station.
We have to hang out by the gas station and offer people $5 to buy us some alcohol,
mm-hmm.
and putting them at risk of getting in trouble with
yes.
the authorities if there's a narc there.
But, person I don't know. Would you mind?
Yeah, if we give you $5, dude, and do you ever have that happen to you now? Like you get some kids at a convenience store.
And it wasn't until I started growing facial hair because I kind of have that. I have a baby face.
Yeah, so you were looking like the people that actually were offering the people the $5.
Yeah, so it was back then. It wasn't until I came out with some alcohol, and then they would see me come out and be like, mm-hmm. "Hey, dude, would you go back in and do this and this?"
We'll give you $5, man.
I lied.
Thunder Pop! Thunder Pop! Thunder Pop! Oh, Thunder Pop!
Yeah!
What's up?
Second part of a two-parter where we did this series about sequels.
Mm-hmm.
And we love sequels. We love them. We sometimes hate them. And we did a first part of this two-part series, we talked about the sequels that were like awful, god-awful, worst sequels in the history of sequels that were our three picks. We picked three, and we
there's so many, we had no duplicates.
Oh, it was hard. Well, we did have the Batman and Robin.
The one.
1997 Batman and Robin, and I ended up with, I know that, you ended up with that. Then I had Superman, The Quest for Peace. As one of mine, you had Jaws Revenge was on your list, mm-hmm. were two that we didn't have a crossover on. I mean, those were movies that were so bad. One thing they had in common with each other is that they killed huge franchises.
Yes.
One that has not yet to be rebooted, mm-hmm. and the other one, it took 19 years between to reboot it.
Yes.
To finally be able to have the courage to come back out of hiding from under the rock. And do another Superman. There were the TV versions.
Yeah, you had like the Lois and Clark, mm-hmm. and the Smallville.
Smallville. There was even, I think, a Superboy TV series before Smallville,
mm-hmm.
which I remember not being not too bad as
not
well.
Not too bad.
Yeah, not too bad. It was a little bit probably CW-ish,
mm-hmm.
But then Smallville was a little bit CW-ish to a certain degree. It was probably a little more story development on that version.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, Smallville. It ran for 10 seasons.
Huge success.
And now they're talking about, now that Supergirl show is coming to the CW.
Yeah, it is.
And they've already stated Superman's going to appear in her show.
Perfect. With her on CW, with Supergirl now joining the CW crew of DC mm-hmm. series. And then you could even have him appear on Flash, mm-hmm. Arrow, dare I say, later on.
Oh, yeah.
You could have some crossover there. So, man, that would just be a home run. Knock it out of the park.
Him in the Flash race?
Yes. Oh, yeah, it would just be, I'm all in if they do that.
Yeah.
I'm all in for that. Fingers crossed.
And then your number one was?
Quest for Peace made my number one.
Oh, yeah.
Of my worst
and then
sequels.
You had Blues Brothers.
Your Blues Brothers 2 was my number one.
And then I also had Troll 2 in there.
Troll 2 in there, yeah, which it spawned a documentary and a huge cult following. It was so bad, it was good. So this episode, we're going to talk about the sequels that were never made, that have not been made, that should have been made.
Yes.
That we want to be made. We're still holding out on some of these.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be where it's going to give us our three on those. And then also, my experience in sweaty yoga.
Who's sweaty?
Oh, yeah. Oh, you can smell it right now probably in the Thunderpop Dome. Episode number 19. We're almost able to drink. Episode. So I'm going to tell you what. I've been doing this. I did a trade with a yoga studio. Core Power Yoga. Power Core, Core Power, I say their name enough times, maybe they'll give me another month free.
Yeah.
Core Power Yoga. Core Power Yoga. Core Power Yoga. Power Yoga. Core Power Yoga. Did I mention Core Power Yoga? Okay. Okay.
None of that.
Just in case I haven't said it enough, Core Power Yoga. Free membership, please. Free month of membership for mentioning. So anyway, I did a trade with him. Actually, it was DJ Mad Coins. He was a regular DJ for the Core Power Yoga studio, and he had to take a day off, so I came in relief of him. So I show up. I've got my laptop. I'm ready to go, and I'm dressed like, because I'm not going to do yoga, so I think I'm just going to show up, my jeans and shirt. Well, as it turns out, everyone forgot to tell me, and all the detailed correspondence I had with the great people at Core Power Yoga, and never came up that it's heated yoga.
Oh.
So I'm in the studio, about 90 degrees, I think, in full jeans and shirt. It was 90 degrees. I'm in jeans. I'm in Doc Marten boots. I'm in like a button-up, like long-sleeve shirt, I think. And it turns out, I thought it was going to be cold AC studio. And no, it was a 90-degree heated yoga for 60 minutes that I'm sitting there. And I'm sweating. I'm dropping sweat on my laptop. And I sweat more than the normal person. Like, I am a extra heavy sweater. So there was that. I'm sweating like crazy and just trying to get through it. But I finally made it, and I got... So then I know next time I know better. I'm going to show up in, like a Speedo and flip-flops mm-hmm. with, like, several towels. And I'm going to be covered in like those cool wraps.
And bring one of those little misty fan things.
Misty fan, a block of ice to sit on.
Yeah.
Instead of a regular stool. So that's done. And now I've been taking part in my trade. I've been going mm-hmm. to the sweaty yoga classes, and it's been quite an experience. But I sweat so much in this class that I create like Texas floods surrounding me, and we've been named a disaster area because of all the Texas floods we've been having. But literally, I have created the next Texas flood in where my yoga mat's at. I'm surrounded by puddles of sweat, and just this last class, I nearly almost caused an accident because the girl's walking by with her, and she slipped. In my sweat.
Oh.
She slipped, and I actually caught her, and I apologized, and I'm so sorry that you almost slipped and knocked your head unconscious on because of my sweat. I've been trying to keep and maintain and clean the floor as I've been doing my yoga, sweaty yoga. But anyway, I highly recommend the sweaty yoga. I call it sweaty yoga. I think it's hot yoga.
Hot.
And there's different kinds. There's Bikram, and there's I don't know what other versions they've got of it. They've got Paula Abdul hot yoga. That does not exist. I just made that up. So anyway, then they give you start getting more confident in the yoga moves, and you can start doing like different handstands and stuff. And a few of these, because I used to break dance. So a few of these moves I actually could probably do if I really put my mind to it, and I try to do them, but then I've got so much sweat, moisture on my mat.
Automatically fall.
I automatically fall on my ass trying to do them, so it's not like I can't. I might be able to do it, but then I try to do it, and then I'm slipping and falling on my ass. So,
yeah.
So that's the problem, is how do you do the moves? I don't know. Maybe, or like they can come up with like a bat suit for me that's got like tire tracked like texture.
In swimming, we used to have these towels. They were only like this big, and they were made by Speedo.
Mm-hmm.
But literally, you could get out of the water like you just ran a race, take that little chamois thing, and you could dry your whole body with that little thing.
That's something like that.
And then you just go wring it out.
That's what I need. Or I need halftime where I can go to the showers and then come back like they do in sports. So we're going to get into this episode, the sequels that haven't happened that should have happened.
Right.
As our two parts.
These days.
Huh?
It's tough these days because it seems like every movie coming out is a remake or a sequel.
They're checking things. Some of them are being checked off the list already for me. Mm-hmm. Like I wanted another Indiana Jones to redeem the last one.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to happen.
Yep.
We're going to get another Indiana Jones. I wanted another Star Wars.
We got Star Wars.
We're getting another Star Wars. You know, I love Rocky movies. I was happy to see more Rocky movies if they were good, if mm-hmm. they were going to be good Rocky movies. And they've made some good Rocky sequels.
Yeah.
We've had a couple. So there's that, and then, you know, there's others that are coming around that we've heard rumors about, but we're going to go over our three that haven't happened yet that we really would like to happen here in a second. We'll be right back.
Thunder Pop, brought to you in part by...
Chasing Bancroppers makes me hot and thirsty. Let's get a drink.
No time. They're here. Hey, hey, you.
Wait for me. Oh, yeah?
Kool-Aid brand soft drink mix.
Oh, yeah!
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Kool-Aid Man. Busted in. They still have the Kool-Aid Man commercial where he comes busting in?
I don't know
and...
if they have the commercials anymore. I know they still sell it, obviously, because yeah. It's got to be... People like Kool-Aid.
You're a sports fan, so you mm-hmm. watch a little... If I know you watch football, and you know Andy Reid, the Kansas City Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever see the video they made where he's the Kool-Aid Man?
No, but I heard stories about it.
He's got... Because, you know, him in a big red, because when he went to the
he's
Chiefs...
Giant, yeah.
The red, not as complimentary as a color for a guy like his size.
When he was with the Eagles, he always wore black.
Black or dark green, mm-hmm. I think. So those were easier... They were slimming colors.
Yes, yes.
Red... Make you look like a giant, like, fire truck, if you're his size.
Yes.
He's wearing his bright-ass red shirt, and they turn. And when they won their first year, they won and advanced in the, I think, the playoffs.
Right.
They won the division. They had a big celebration. Mm-hmm. So they made a video where it looked like he was the Kool-Aid Man busting into the room with his red shirts.
Yeah. poor guy.
Yeah, but, okay, so here it is. The sequels that were not made, had not been made, but should have been made. And Johnny Lightfoot, going to start with the least up to the best.
Okay.
Starting with number three.
My number three is going to be...
A countdown. Three.
It's going to be... I, for whatever reason, and it kind of faded in me wanting this before, M. Night Shyamalan kind of went unhinged on the quality of his movies, but I always wanted a sequel to Unbreakable.
Yes.
With Bruce Willis and Sam Jackson, where Bruce Willis is practically a superhero now.
Uh-huh.
And I wanted to see... Like, what does he do next? And Sam Jackson is kind of his foil.
Yeah.
And I wanted to see...
That developed.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I thought it was set up perfectly with the ending. So I always wanted a sequel to that movie.
Was there ever talk of it? Serious talk?
There was talk from the studios. Mm-hmm. I never knew if they planned on keeping it with... Shyamalan.
Mm-hmm. Does he have the rights on it? Would he have it, or would the studio have the rights, or is that sort of not determined?
That's a good question.
Yeah. So that would probably have a big part of it. But do you think it's been so long it would be a really hard sell because the people have kind of forgotten about it? It would have been like maybe an 8-year window, 10-year window?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah.
But a shame that it hasn't happened.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's probably much more likely to happen in a remake or a reboot if we see it again.
Yeah, if we saw it again, it would be another similar situation just in that universe, probably.
Yeah. So but, I agree. I thought we would have loved a sequel for that, and it would have been a good one.
I mean, the other thing with that is when that came out, that was before the age of superheroes.
Yeah.
But I always wanted to see that.
Yeah, before we started to get the slew of the Marvel movies and the, mm-hmm. and now the DC movies and what about the ball rolling? Because there was definitely superhero movies have been big for a while, but they went from like pretty big to like everywhere.
Early 2000s was when it kind of started.
Yeah.
And it just kept building.
It just kept building. You thought it was going to be like, oh, this may go on for like a little while.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're going, but it just got bigger and bigger and bigger.
Yeah, you had the X-Men movies,
mm-hmm.
and then you had Spider-Man came out in 2002, yeah. Daredevil 2003,
mm-hmm.
Elektra 2004, you had your Fantastic Four movies, then Batman Begins comes 2005,
yeah,
And then 2006 is Superman Returns. Like, it just, every year, more and more and more, to where now we get, like, at least three, sometimes four a year.
Yeah, and we're not, they're not going anywhere anytime soon. We've got another five to eight-year window with good, ample amounts of superhero movies.
Because, yeah, before we even hit June 1st, 2016, yeah, we had already had four superhero movies.
Yeah, because they set their dates well in advance, mm-hmm, and say, these are going to be the Marvel dates. These are DC, mm-hmm, dates.
Yep.
These are, and now Star Wars dates that are,
yeah, basically now, if you don't want to be crushed that week before Christmas, mm-hmm, you're probably staying away from that from now on.
Mm-hmm. Unless you're a different Christmas movie. Unless you're a very different type of movie, like Sisters with Tina Fey,
right, and comedy.
Amy Poehler, that came out the same weekend as Star Wars, mm-hmm, Force Awakens, because they knew they were sort of going for a little bit different audience.
Yes.
And they were going to pick up some of the extra, like, spillover, even,
right,
from the Force Awakens crowd. Like, if a mom that maybe didn't want to see Star Wars Force Awakens, mm-hmm, that wanted to drop her kids off and maybe go with her girlfriends to go see,
yeah, Sisters. You either do counter programming like that,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
or you do same type of movie to get the spillover from the sold out.
Yeah, or you just get the hell out of the way.
Yep.
And you find another lane.
You move.
To set up camp in. All right, number two on your sequels that had not been made, but man, you really wish they would have been made.
Number two. And this was something that was going on for a while, and Quentin Tarantino, I know, talked about it a little bit not long after Pulp Fiction, so it's also been a while.
Uh-huh.
But this is I want a sequel to Quentin Tarantino's universe, technically, I guess you would say it's a sequel to both Reservoir Dogs and Pulp Fiction.
Oh,
so centered on the Vega brothers. So in Reservoir Dogs,
mm-hmm,
Vic Vega,
yeah,
is Michael Madsen, and then in Pulp Fiction, John Travolta is Vincent Vega.
Yes.
And they're brothers in this same Tarantino universe.
This universe he created.
So I know he had talked about it a while back in like the mid to late 90s,
yeah,
doing a Vega Brothers movie where you would have John Travolta and Michael Madsen basically taking place before Reservoir Dogs and Pulp Fiction.
Working as a prequel for both,
right,
movies.
Because both of them died in their respective movies.
Yeah.
So you would have it to where basically the two brothers, it's before either of them went to jail. You know, them just pulling off jobs.
I remember reading about the speculation, mm-hmm, and then why has that not happened?
I think it's just because Tarantino, at least until recently, always put like 4 years between each movie.
He takes forever. The old folks, we pulled the show, you never can tell.
He was kind of on this track where he was really invested in the Kill Bill Part 1 and 2.
Yeah, he got really in that for like a long time.
And they came out in the early 2000s, and basically Jackie Brown was in like 98.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell him I'm going in the trunk to show him the goods. When I open the trunk, you pop up and rack this motherfucker.
Man, fuck that shit. I ain't finna shoot nobody.
I ain't saying nothing about you shooting nobody. All you got to do is hold on to it. They'll get the idea.
Man, you must be out of your fucking mind if you think I'm finna get in this dirty-ass trunk.
We ain't going nowhere but to Koreatown, man. You ain't gonna be in here no more than 10 minutes.
Man, I ain't riding in no goddamn trunk for no minute, man. Well, I can't ride up front with you.
You can't ride up front with me. The surprise element is 90% of it.
I'm sorry, man, but I ain't getting no goddamn trunk.
I can't believe you do me like this.
Do you like what, man? I just ain't climbing in no goddamn dirty-ass trunk, man. I got a problem with small places. No.
Well, I got a problem with spending $10,000 on ungrateful peanut head niggas to get them out of jail, but I did it. And how small was that jail cell, motherfucker?
Look, man, I know I owe you, and you got to bring all
this. If you owe me, then get your ass in this trunk.
Man, I want to help you, but I won't be locked in no goddamn trunk or no car.
You think I want to spend $10,000?
Back to back.
He's been involved in the westerns now for the last couple of.
He's kind of gone back in time. I mean, he did Bastards, which was, mm-hmm, in the war, too. And then the last two, Hateful Eight and Django, were in the westerns.
And originally, I think they wanted Hateful Eight to be a sequel to Django Unchained.
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, I don't remember the exact reasoning why they went for it being a separate entity.
Yeah, I'm not sure either.
But still in kind of a similar type of,
mm-hmm,
type of genre movie.
But yeah, that's my number two. I'm a huge Tarantino fan, and I thought it would have been cool to see the Vega brothers pulling off some dirty jobs.
They got eventually they would have to get to it, because if it's prequels, because of the age of the actors that are playing the roles. It's perfect timing. I mean, John Travolta is kind of down right now. Mm-hmm. He might as well have been like Sylvester Stallone in the early 2000s at this point, where he's filming.
Not doing a lot of work.
He's not doing a lot of work.
He's butchering names.
Please welcome the wickedly talented one and only Adele Dazeem.
He's butchering names. According to Sharon Osbourne, he wears wigs. I wasn't aware of that, but she says he wears really bad wigs. I tried to look closely at the screen, and I could see maybe, I don't fault a guy for wearing a hairpiece or a wig. I don't think there's anything dirty or wrong with that if it looks well. If it looks right. I mean, if a woman can wear a padded bra, why can't a guy, wear if he wants to?
Well, and women wear wigs, too.
Women infamously.
Weaves.
Weaves, wigs. If it was me, I'd go more the route of the weave. Because I want to be able to assure that someone can't go and rip that raccoon off your head. And I'd go balls of wall, just aggressive with it. I would have like a Cure haircut, from the 90s.
Yeah,
if I was going to do the weave, just go all out, the surfer hair.
Yeah, and the other thing, too, is you might slip on Steven's hair at sweat at a yoga class.
If the wigs,
and
if
I the wig
get too slippery.
And then the wig falls off.
And then somebody slips on it like a banana peel.
Yeah.
And that's not a good thing, because you're trying to go to yoga to try to improve or to try to heal injury or improve your body's health and then slip on your ass and have a serious fall and have to go to emergency, it's taking two steps forward, then taking several steps back.
Yeah, and then now everybody knows you wear a wig.
And then everybody knows I wear a wig, and that's going to be the talk of the yoga studio. And next thing you know, now they have this website where you can go order yoga pants. And on this website, you can have any custom photo or print put on the yoga.
Really?
Of course, they have t-shirts websites out the wazoo.
Right.
So now they have the yoga pant version of this. And you can get your yoga pants with... So everybody in the yoga studio would suddenly have yoga pants with, like, my wig. They'd get the slippery, sweaty wig yoga pants. They'd have, like, several of those, like, textured wallpaper.
Little wigs with little sweat piles.
Uh-huh. That would be become the new ongoing joke at the yoga studio.
Little to get sweat droplets on the rear end.
Sweat droplets on there. Yeah, that would be... It'd be funny. I just get the Princess Leia buns. I just go straight in on my Star Wars fandemonium and get those in there. But I have them where you can remove the buns off and throw them like disc.
Oh, there you go. There you go.
You could use them as a little, if someone talks shit about your wig and say, hey, just sling this bun and hit you upside the head with it. Yeah, no, I would love to have that prequel, and I hope that it still happens. But like you said, I mean, Tarantino might as well be Warren Beatty in the 1980s as far as how far apart his movies are and how long it takes to go from movie to movie.
Yeah.
Unless he gets into like a series like the the sequels.
Hateful Eight, apparently the script leaked like 3 years ago.
He was, yeah, he was that, he said that long.
He would say he would never make it now. But then he ended up coming back.
I think he's just the sort of the filmmaker he is. He just takes his own damn time to get something made.
He holds up in shady hotels with prostitutes and writes his scripts.
Uh-huh.
Like he could. I mean, I know he visits Austin all the time.
Yeah, he used to do a festival. They had a Tarantino festival.
I've had people tell me they've run into him like at Barton Springs.
Uh huh.
Just chilling in the Barton Springs.
Uh huh. Just. So he's sort of a guy, he works.
What's going on here?
How's it going, man? How are
you? What's going on here? What's going on here? What's going on here? Put that down. What's going on here? What are you doing? What are you doing? Can you not talk to me?
He's sort of a guy, he works and then he chills and he's not just work.
He doesn't work, and he doesn't really care about being lavish.
And Rihanna told him that he better work.
Yes, but she did.
I saw him when I was in L.A. I was working at a health food store called VP VP Discounts, which is kind of an interesting name for a health food store. But there was these little health food stores, like two of them in the greater LA area, and I worked at the one that was near Hollywood, and I was actually catty corner to an office where Ben Affleck and Matt Damon had an office set up in this building, because they were doing, I think, the HBO series about young filmmakers trying to get their... Yeah, so they had an office set up for that catty corner from me, and there was a soaps, natural soaps and scent place that shared the same building with us that were right behind us on the side street. So we had, I mean, amazing the who's who of Hollywood come into that place when I was working there. Little Richard in a bright red suit.
Shut up!
Paul McCartney.
Ooh, ooh, what do you do? No one else can dance like you. So what's all the fuss? There ain't nobody spying like us. Hey.
Little Richard was getting ready to go do Hollywood Squares down the street, and he was coming in to buy some vitamins. And at that point, he was already kind of frail, and had guys that were coming in and helping him. But then he was very, like, once you start talking to him, he was Little Richard. Like, he was like, he was funny. And he had all this makeup. Like, it was the middle of the day, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And he comes in the bright red suit, and he's got all the makeup on, the lipstick, the blush, the eyeshadow. I mean, he was the real deal. Like, he lived up to the expectation you would have with Little Richard if you ran into him. But anyway, no, Quentin Tarantino. So I took a break one day, and I'm walking around, just kind of walking around the neighborhood near the store, and I walk up on Quentin Tarantino is doing an interview on the sidewalk, and it's one of those things where they probably decided it was, let's look casual and look like we're just taking a stroll while we're doing the interview.
Right.
And he was promoting, I can't remember what movie it was that he had just put out that year. And he's wearing white silk baggy, what most people would call pajamas. And this is, again, probably about 5 o'clock in the afternoon, in the middle of the week, in Hollywood, in a pretty nice upper middle class section of town. And he's wearing pajamas, silk, with embroidered something in there, like in that, like designs embroidered into the. And I say white. It might be more like, it was actually more like a cream color, just to be more accurate. And then I think he's got like some of those slip-on kind of like Miami Vice boat shoes.
Oh yeah,
like but black kind of slipper style. Yeah. So he was there, and he was going off, like, you know, in that typical Quentin Tarantino, like very animated, where he was getting like that look on his face, where he's just like totally. And so he's going off on something, and I couldn't hear him because I didn't go up close. I kind of stood from like a across the street watching as it was happening, and I was like, and this was pretty funny to see that. And then the other one was Kevin Smith. Kevin Smith would come in quite a bit, and at the time he was doing the Atkins diet.
Oh, so you got like the somewhat skinny Kevin Smith.
Skinny Kevin Smith, and really odd, he was trying to go for more of a yuppie look around that time, more of a preppy look.
Yeah, now he just wears hockey jerseys.
Yeah, it might be the weight thing. Maybe when he's heavier, he feels like, oh, I'll wear the hockey. And by the way, love Kevin Smith's movie reviews, love his YouTube channel, love his content. He's great on social media. I follow him on Facebook. But just sort of interesting kind of behind the scenes of some of the people as I would see him come into the health food store. And one of them was that Kevin Smith was kind of skinny at the time. And he would come in and fill up a cart of this Atkins diet pre-made stuff. And he was in like more like khakis and kind of like button-up shirts. And I get it. I've gotten a little heavier at times. And then when I would slim down, I'd want to like show it off a little bit. So he probably was feeling like, you know.
Yeah, because outside of that time, he's always just worn jeans, tennis shoes, and either a hockey jersey or a jacket and a backwards baseball hat.
Yeah, and as he's gotten more kind of like back to a little bit heavier times in recent years, he's gone back to the hockey jersey. Maybe it's kind of his brand. He feels like he just kind of got back to doing
it. Yeah, and then he has his own jerseys, and it's got like his face with like bat wings coming out of it, and it says like Fat Man.
And so maybe sometimes when he's on his off time, maybe he dresses a little bit, doesn't always wear the hockey jersey, and as I so it's kind of catch him.
It's just his brand.
Yeah, it's just his brand, so he kind of stays consistent with it. And he ate at a same Dallas airport at Mexican restaurant just a few months after I did, because I follow him on Facebook, and I remember him talking about, I'm at this place, and he posted it, and I was like, I was sitting in the exact same chair and table as Kevin Smith like 2 months before at the Dallas airport. at this Mexican restaurant, and they do have good, I'm sure he enjoyed some good Tex-Mex food there. That's some great stuff, fajitas. And he wasn't doing Atkins.
No.
Not at that restaurant, no. Okay, so that one.
That was my number two.
Number two. Number one.
2-1-0.
For my number one, this is kind of an out there one. I don't know if there were ever any talks for it. It was just something I would love to see because this is a movie that I could, I'll watch the shit out of it. I've owned it for several years, and the movie is Seven.
Oh, man. Yeah.
I always wondered where Morgan Freeman and Brad Pitt's character go.
Detective Somerset? I'm Detective Mills.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have ourselves a homicide.
Once somebody's dead, you drive by and shoot them. You don't risk the time it takes to do this. Unless the act itself has meaning.
All right, calm down. Quiet down.
They have their very best men on this. This will be the very definition of swift justice.
There are seven deadly sins, Captain. Gluttony. Greed. Sloth. Wrath. Pride. Lust. And envy. You can expect five more of these. This can't be my last duty.
Yes.
Like, does Brad Pitt go crazy and become a killer? And Morgan Freeman's got to stop
Ooh.
Him? Do they let Brad Pitt off the hook? Maybe he only serves 6 months. I mean, he did just see a box, his wife's head in a box.
Yeah.
I mean, what happens? And David Fincher's such an amazing director. And I just like the atmosphere for that movie. I've watched it a million times. It's one I love the horror genre.
Yeah.
I love Fincher. I love Brad Pitt and Morgan Freeman.
Yeah.
Kevin Spacey. Gwyneth Paltrow is probably one of the top three working actresses in the industry right now.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I wanted to see Eight.
Yeah. I agree.
Or you could call it 7-2. I don't care. You could call it Seven and the
Half.
Whatever. I don't care. That, I just wanted that so bad, and who knows?
Do you think it's ever been in talks? Have you ever read or any speculation that there was being to consider?
I've never heard any speculation on that.
Yeah. And is it with Fincher?
I mean, I would want it to be with Fincher,
but
I know Fincher's very particular about
his
work, and the only sequel he's ever done was one of his first movies, which was Alien 3.
Yeah.
And he didn't have any control over that movie. Like, I have the Alien Quadrilogy, and he didn't take part in any of the bonus content. And there's probably 16 hours just on Alien 3 of bonus content.
Yeah.
And it's really sad to hear the actors, the producers, the cameramen talking about, man, we never knew this guy was going to become one of the best filmmakers alive.
Yeah, yeah.
And we didn't let him do anything. We didn't even give him his cut. We took away his cut and put in our own cut.
Yeah, and speaking of that, we're going to cover something very similar to that on the Agree or Disagree that's coming up here in a bit.
Right.
Speaking of directors that are probably brilliant, not being given their space that they possibly that they need to be given, and then maybe it might be sort of regretting that and looking back on it later, same way. Okay,
yeah.
So there's those three. Now I'm going to give you the three sequels in my list.
All right.
That we didn't get, that we would have really would like to get, that should get, that needs to got.
Needs to be got.
Needs to be gotten. All right, number three. Another Star Trek Next Generation film. An actual follow-up to the last Next Generation, which would... Their last Next Generation movie was in 2002. We had Star Trek Nemesis. In 1988, they did Star Trek Insurrection. 1996 was First Contact, and Generations was in 1994, yeah. And that was sort of the handoff, I believe, mm-hmm.
That's
between the original Enterprise crew of William Shatner's Star Trek was handed off in some ways mm-hmm. to the Next Generation as they left the TV world and made their transition to the film world and took over the franchise. Mm-hmm. And they made it with four films, and it ended with 2002 Star Trek Nemesis. This is the one with Tom Hardy where he plays the clone of Picard. It was created by the Romulans, but eventually exiled to hard labor on Remus. Assassinations, the entire Romulan Senate, he assassinates the entire Romulan Senate, assumes dictatorship, and lures Picard and Enterprise to Romulus under the false pretense of a peace overture.
Make it so.
This film was a critical and commercial disappointment. It was released in late 2002 in direct competition with, get this, James Bond's Die Another Day. It was also competing with The Lord of the Rings, The Two Towers. Yeah. And it was the final Star Trek film that featured the Next Generation cast, because after this version, they took a break for about 7 years before they rebooted with the prequels. Mm-hmm. And at this point, if you look at that, in retrospect, man, they had a uphill battle with the weekend that they came out yeah. against Lord of the Rings, kind of at the peak of its popularity.
Yeah, and that was around Christmas time, too, mm-hmm. I believe. So.
So that was with Tom Hardy playing the Picard clone.
An unknown Tom Hardy.
Very unknown Tom Hardy at that point. And what a difference, 12 years can make mm-hmm. in an actor. Actor's career. But I think that they had a bad outing, but so did the original Star Trek franchise had their bad outings. I mean, hell, the whole movie franchise started with Star Trek the Motion Picture, which in itself was considered by some to be a disappointment.
Yes.
But they kept trailing on, and they retweaked things a little bit, and they redid some of the behind the scenes people that were involved, mm-hmm. and then they came out with Wrath of Khan. Which
is considered one of the great ones.
Total sci-fi classic. Mm-hmm. And it continued on from there. And then even after that, they had some misses with the original Star Trek crew. Mm-hmm.
Whales.
Yeah, the Whales movie. I actually like the Whales movie. The
Search for Spock.
The Search for Spock was okay. I didn't like it as much as Wrath of Khan. But then you come out with this movie, which I would agree it wasn't the best, but I didn't think it was a total disaster either. Mm. And I do agree with taking a break from the Next Generation, but I would love to see now them revitalize and come back, even if it was a one-off.
Make it so.
And do a one more just to kind of see where things mm-hmm. are at now in the Next Generation. And it would be about 15 years after the last time we've seen him.
Yeah.
I think a lot of changes have happened. It'd be really interesting to see where Captain Picard is 15 years later.
Yeah, because, I mean, Patrick Stewart's still working.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Still thriving. And
they said he might be in the third Wolverine film, mm-hmm. Reprising Professor X. So, I'd like to see it.
And we're going to see now, probably they're going to be wrapping things up on the current series. I don't know. How many more do you think you see him going on this one? Do you think they'll go as far as they can?
I think a lot of it depends on this one coming out this year.
Yeah, it really does, doesn't it?
Because now you don't have J.J. Abrams anymore.
No. Mm-hmm.
And the second one wasn't hated. But
no.
It received mixed reviews.
It didn't set the world on fire.
No, the first one, people loved it.
Set the world on fire.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But it depends on...
Brought back
on,
Star Trek.
Yes, it
single
did.
Movie that brought back Star Trek.
Because, Star Trek was dead in TV, pretty much.
You can credit J.J. Abrams for revitalizing the Star Trek franchise.
Yes, because nobody was interested in it.
Yeah.
Even the final show, I think, was Enterprise. It failed very miserably.
Scott Bakula, mm-hmm. yeah. Which I liked it, but it was just at that point, things had sort of slipped.
Yeah, they fell off the rails a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that one there is my... I want to see the Next Generation, another Next Generation movie, whether it be a one-off or we just kind of get... we got that with the original Star Trek, if you think about it. They made that Star Trek TV series.
Yeah. Then
it was quite a few years between the TV series...
And the movies.
And the movies. And the movies happened because the reruns were so popular.
Mm-hmm.
And it was sort of the same dynamic...
Still in their minds,
Yeah. Yeah, and so plus they were going to have an opportunity to make a Star Trek movie series where they had a budget and effects, special effects that they didn't have
right.
when they made the original TV series.
Because the original TV series, those effects, just the just the bridge on the Enterprise mm-hmm. alone looked very cardboard.
Mm-hmm. But what they did was they kind of set sort of a blueprint for future sci-fi reboots
mm-hmm.
with that early on. That said, you can totally come back and continue on a story, even if it be like, you know, years later, and the visual effects are way more advanced, but you can pull that off. Because they showed sort of Star Wars universe that.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you think about the time between Empire or between Return of the Jedi and where the level of visual effects were mm-hmm. in the 1980s.
To Phantom Menace in the 90s.
Yeah.
And then you look at now.
Force Awakens, where it's the same characters. Luke Skywalker, Han Solo, Princess Leia. It's a true continuation of a series that was from the 1980s.
Mm-hmm. The Millennium Falcon.
And they pulled that off. We know the visual effects are different. We know the visual effects are better, but we can
still
we
has
can,
a feel.
We can piece those all together and say, yeah, this is all part of the same story, mm-hmm. same series, and yeah. it works. And Star Trek kind of was actually the first out of the gate to show the rest of the sci-fi world that was doable. Next one, number two in a different genre.
Two.
Tombstone. Two.
Tombstone is actually one of my favorite westerns.
It is absolutely my favorite. And yeah, I agree. It's up there. And Tombstone 2, I'll be a Huckleberry.
Yeah. I mean, even though Doc's gone, I mean, you don't have... I mean, with Val Kilmer, I mean, he's going to have to go on Adkins.
Yeah.
If you decide
well, to bring you know, him back. He lost his weight. But, he's lost the weight.
Oh, he has.
The last time I saw him on the web... He had apparently thinned down. Now, he was having health problems for a while,
mm.
and he was actually using a breathing device, like some kind of breathing device to help him breathe. A breathing device that was attached to his face.
Oh.
So he was wearing this, and he was denying that he was having any serious health issues, but there had been, you know, people speculating why he was wearing the breathing device. But then he's appeared more recently in looking in much better health. So there... Val Kilmer is shopping after effects after... It says here he had throat cancer.
Throat cancer,
okay. Yeah, throat cancer battle, which actually, I mean, it could have had been the reason why he lost the weight.
Cancer does tend to make people lose some weight.
Yeah, so it could have very well would have just been what caused him to lose the weight that he lost. So Val Kilmer, shocking after effects. This is a June 1st, 2016. Now, I don't know,
would that make his voice different?
That's the thing, yeah. You don't know if he's had a loss of his voice or if he's still... able, but you know they're planning on, and there's still talk about the Top Gun sequel.
Yeah,
that's been a thing that's been kind of in the planning, and Tom Cruise has been really serious about doing it for a long time.
Hey Maverick,
yeah,
you hear about ice?
What's that?
Want another one?
Really?
Yeah.
I feel the need
for speed.
So you'd wonder whether if Val Kilmer is in good health, if he would be able to do it. Here's the thing, talking about Top Gun is 30 years old today. That was back May 17th. Talking about Val Kilmer there, people that talked about it. So anyway, yeah, he had some health issues. He lost some weight. I don't know how he's doing now, but there's different people speculating. He was found in Hawaii most recently. I guess he was there maybe vacationing in Hawaii. Hmm. Is that he was so talking about Tombstone? A person on the internet had put out a proposal for the sequel to Tombstone. Tombstone 2 is registered with the Writers Guild of America. Tombstone 2 is a lifelong dream come true. This person wrote, "I am very passionate about first spec screenplay." This is a person, I guess, created a spec screenplay because it's the untold story of my family, the Clantons. For many years, Hollywood movies have made the Clantons, especially Ike Clan, out to be Wyatt Earp's fall guy. Nothing more than a drunken scumbag, cow thief that hasn't had a bath in 3 months. Reality is much different. Justice is coming, all right. It's called Tombstone 2. I could have named the screenplay a lot of things, but Tombstone 2 is very fitting. There's two sides to every story. The world deserves to see the other side of this story. My motivation to get the screenplay done has never stopped. I started with a historically correct 100-page chronological outline that was to become my first titled Wyatt Earp's Worst Nightmare. That was going to be titled Wyatt Earp's Worst Nightmare. The Memoirs of Ike Clanton. Once I completed the outline, I wanted more. I want to first bring my story to the silver screen, then release Ike's memoirs as a book. So anyway, this person goes on saying that they had this spec script and that they wanted to get some A-list actors involved and seriously getting it done. But yeah, there's a talk there of someone that was trying to develop a screenplay for a Tombstone's sequel. But yeah, great movie. Think you could definitely do it. I think there would be ways to do it. And like you said, it's one of the greatest Westerns ever made.
Mm-hmm.
And you still got Kurt Russell?
Yeah, Kurt Russell's still around.
Just made The Hateful Eight?
Yeah. And then you also still have, what's his name, that played the older brother?
Sam Elliott, yeah. And Sam Elliott is currently working on two Netflix series. He's been playing Jane Fonda's love interest on, I think it's the Frank and Gracie comedy series. And he's also on the Ashton Kutcher new sitcom on Netflix. I'm trying to remember the name of the show that's...
And he doesn't look much different than he did.
No, he doesn't.
Considering he's 71.
He doesn't. He's on The Ranch. He's on The Rash. He plays Bo Bennett on the TV series The Ranch. And that's the show with Ashton Kutcher. And then also one of the other guys from the 70s show is on that show as well. Grayson Frankie, he plays on there. He plays Phil on Grayson Frankie. So he's kind of seems to be making the rounds over on Netflix right now.
Okay.
Yeah, he's got the same mustache on both shows. It's part of his character on both shows, too.
It's part of his character in every movie.
Yeah, and he plays an asshole dad on The Ranch. Like, he is a total, like, jackass asshole on The Ranch. Next show, they use Willie Nelson's son and Waylon Jennings' son, Shooter Jennings, do a remake of Don't Let Your Babies Grow Up to Be Cowboys for the theme song of the show.
Oh, okay.
Cowboys ain't easy to love, and they're harder to hold. They'd rather give you salt than diamonds or gold. Lone Star belt buckles and old faded Levi's, and each night begins a new day. If you don't understand him and he don't die young, you'll probably just ride away. Mamas, don't let your babies grow up to be cowboys.
And the whole premise is it's a family that owned a ranch, that live on a ranch. Ashton Kutcher is a washed up semi-pro football player that comes home to live on the ranch. And they have Sissy Spacek from Urban Cowboy.
Mm-hmm.
And then Sam Elliott, who was also from Urban Cowboy. So there's sort of some tie-in casting there. And then, he's been in a lot of movies. Let's see.
Yeah, it seems like he does at least two or three things a year.
Yeah, he stays quite busy.
Well, he never really plays like the front and center lead.
No.
He's usually B or C character.
Mm-hmm.
So he's probably not on a shoot very much. So he can do three, four films a year.
Yeah, I mean, you could get him and Kurt Russell back for a Tombstone sequel. You could do and also you could go the angle of a prequel possibly. Although at this point it would probably be too late to do the prequel.
Yeah, or you know, with if you couldn't get Val Kilmer and you at least got Sam Elliott and Kurt Russell, because mm-hmm. he was Wyatt Earp's older brother,
yeah,
who basically dropped out of the game once he got shot.
Mm-hmm.
So it'd be cool to see them come back. Maybe Wyatt Earp needs his brother's help for something.
You know, there's other stories there. It's like in Westerns, there's plenty of stories.
Plenty of stories. And there's not a lot out there content-wise for Westerns.
Mm-hmm.
So people who like Westerns, you know, you maybe only get one Western a year nowadays.
Number one on my list. And this is sort of interesting because this is actually being done again, but it's not technically
I know where you're going.
I don't. I don't think it's actually a sequel. From what I've read, it's going to be an actual remake and revisioning of the original Ghostbusters 3, a sequel to the original Ghostbusters that would have featured Bill Murray and Harold Ramis.
Of biblical proportion.
What
do you mean biblical?
What he means is Old Testament, Mr. Yes. Mayor. Real wrath of God type stuff.
Exactly.
Fire and brimstone coming down from the skies. Rivers and seas boiling.
40 years of darkness, earthquakes, volcanoes.
The dead rising from the grave. Human sacrifice, dogs and cats living together. Mass hysteria.
Enough, I get the point.
And it would have been the original crew. Dan Aykroyd, Ernie Hudson, back to do a third Ghostbusters. Now this, they tried this for years.
They did.
They tried to get them back together for years, and the whole one sticking point that kept it from happening, from what I understand, was Bill Murray was holding up them getting it done. Like he was like not returning, responding to Dan. According to Dan Aykroyd, he couldn't get a hold of him when it came to the Ghostbusters thing.
Yeah, I remember I believe it was Fantastic Fest in 2008, he had a movie there, and he had a Q&A after.
Yeah.
And somebody asked him about that,
mm-hmm.
and he just flat out told him in one sentence, I feel like we told our story, I don't need more Ghostbusters films, that's all I've got.
It would have made a ton. For us, we're talking about money. Well, one of the things I know he said too, another person asked him another time, and he says, I just don't think people care about seeing our old asses up there on the screen busting ghosts. You know, being old. They don't want to see old Ghostbusters. But I think that he's wrong on that. I think there was a period up till about probably 2008, 2009, where they could have still made this happen. If they had done it before 2008, 2009. Yeah. When everybody was still around, because we lost Harold Ramis, mm-hmm. Rest in peace. Now I do agree, without Harold Ramis, it would have been a lot harder to pull it off. I think it would have been a lot more fun to have all the band back together and not just part of the band.
And Bill Murray kind of did a compromise, I want to say, in 2008. So it was the same year I saw that Q&A
mm-hmm.
when they did get all four of the cast back.
Mm-hmm.
But all they did was they recorded the voices on the Ghostbusters, the game.
Yeah, so they did that. And so the thing is, if they could have gotten the right script together, I think he's wrong about people not wanting to see old Ghostbusters. They were more than excited to come back and see old Han Solo.
Mm-hmm.
Old Han Solo is probably going to make about $50 million.
All said and done.
For his services as old Han Solo. A lot of people wanted to see old Han Solo. I think people have gone to the screen before to see old.
Yeah.
Put your character after the name, and it can do quite well. Let's see. Try to think of another example here where they've had another kind of after many years
come back,
and then they had a comeback and it did quite well.
Rocky Balboa.
Rocky Balboa is a great example. He came back.
That was old ass Stallone boxing.
Old ass Rocky, which people would have probably had even, which I think is even harder to pull off a old-ass Rocky sequel than it is an old-ass Ghostbusters sequel. Because,
mm-hmm.
I mean, he pulled it off. It had a great script, a great palatable premise.
And he did the Rambo, too.
And he did the Rambo. And then they were able to even spin it off into what's probably another franchise, Creed.
Mm-hmm.
And that did quite well. And again, it was another angle, another way to see old Rocky and make it work.
Mm-hmm.
And both of them did quite well. One of them got him an Academy Award nomination for supporting actor,
yeah.
which we would have one time would have never thought that was possible. So that's where I disagree with Bill Murray. I think if they had made the movie, now there's definitely a time. Now, of course, I think it would have been too late.
Yeah.
By 2013, 2014, 2015, it's definitely too late to make that happen. But I think there was a point up till about 2008, 2009, even 2010, where if they had got on it and they had the right script together, and I had it sort of dreamt up an idea where I had this wacky, crazy idea of doing like Marilyn Manson playing their receptionist in the sequel, just because I think it would have been hilarious to have Marilyn Manson sitting there, you know, answering the calls at the Ghostbusters headquarters. And then maybe Marilyn Manson decides to try to become like the fifth Ghostbuster.
Oh,
and suits up. And Marilyn Manson's done some acting.
Yeah,
Marilyn Manson's got some comedic skills,
mm-hmm.
so I think because it would have just been the most far out there, like the most random thing to throw in there is to have a Marilyn Manson and a Ghostbuster movie. I don't know where I actually had a dream of that, and then I woke up and I was like, this could be the spec script for Ghostbusters to start it off. But I had him kind of getting back the band back together because the chaos was ensuing again in New York.
Yeah,
and they all kind of came out of retirement and put the Ghostbusters back together.
Hey, buddy.
Yeah, and then you could put some of that stuff in there. And then if the studio wanted to reboot Ghostbusters, I would have much rather them done the sequel, the one third, made the third of that original series. Then they could have done the another one after that that would have been sort of a handing off of the baton. Like they're doing with Star Wars now.
Just have Bill Murray come back, have Dan Aykroyd come back, showing them how to use the little...
You do Ghostbusters 3, you let them get their one last blast of glory.
And then they say, we're too old.
Redeem yourself from Ghostbusters 2.
Yeah.
You know, where Bobby Brown did the theme song. Then you can do Ghostbusters Academy.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be the sequel. And then if you want to bring in the girls and have them be the new Ghostbusters, I'm all for it. But I don't like this revisioning and rebooting and making it like where the original one never even existed.
Yeah, because now this is now the most disliked trailer on YouTube.
All time.
Of all time.
And now you wonder, is this movie going to bomb?
Because it just feels like... Everybody already hates it, and it hasn't even come out.
Already got sort of their put up a wall, kind of like we're not. And they did the big reunion; they brought everybody back together for the anniversary of the original release.
Mm-hmm.
And they had some of the original cast. They had all the original still living Ghostbusters, and then they brought the girls in. And it's almost like you think like they had to beg the originals to do it so they could help try to prop up the new movie.
New ones, yeah.
So people would like have a little bit more like anxious.
Well, what's really sad even, and this affects my market too, is so after that, Mattel releases the toys.
Yeah.
So Ghostbusters got their own Black Series.
Yeah, I saw some of this.
They did the classics, mm-hmm. and then they did them on the new movies.
Yeah.
They only shipped out one case to each store.
Because they were already that, like...
They're already, like... These type of figures usually aren't what we in the collector's industry call peg warmers.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, they just sit on the shelves, and nobody wants them.
They're gonna probably shit on the shelves if the movie doesn't do that well and the merch doesn't move.
I mean, I was thinking about possibly doing some reviews on the classics ones.
Yeah,
but the girls, the toys even look bad.
Mm-hmm. And those are funny actors. I mean,
I love all those.
They
girls.
Do have the who's who of like today's current female comedians. I mean, I think only like the Trainwreck girls, the only one that's missing from the slew of comedic talent, female talent that's in that movie. And I mean, there's only so many they could fit in that one movie. So I mean, there's spots for four technically to be. But I think if you had done that way, if you had made it sort of a handing off like they did with the Star Wars, people prefer acknowledging. And that original universe existed.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know when Hollywood is going to learn it, but it makes a huge difference when you acknowledge the original universe existed and you can continue that, find a continuation of that.
Yeah.
And if it's handing it off to a new generation, that's great.
I mean, even in this one, if you could have just had maybe your first shot is that building kind of decrepit.
Uh-huh.
And then you have like Bill Murray on the talk show. As just old Dr. Peter Venkman.
Yeah.
And then he's talking about how back in the day, his ghost-busting days. And then, you know, whatever her name is.
And he could have ad-libbed some funny shit in there.
Yeah. And then
which he always
you
had
the girl who's playing the girl Peter Venkman in the new one find him and say, the world needs Ghostbusters. Like, I have a team. Show us. And him just, like, open up the building and, like, tell him this is this. Call Ray in. Have him show them how to use the little machine. Like, there were things you could have done where, like, just tell Bill Murray, hey, it's just a paycheck. Come in for, like, a week.
I think they could have sold him on a short little cameo like that. And then, if worst case, you get Dan Aykroyd to do that.
Yeah.
Dan Aykroyd will show up and do it.
Yeah, because Dan Aykroyd's not really working.
No, and Dan Aykroyd's sort of more of, like, he's ready to go. No matter, just whatever it is, he's up for whatever.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, you know, he's one of those kind of guys like Willie Nelson. You call him up, he dial him up, he's going to show up to do whatever. I had a friend I went to high school with, was a rap artist, called him Lil Black, and then I think he rebranded himself to a different name. He was known on at least the regional scale, like Texas, for rap music. He got Willie Nelson to collaborate with him and do a remake of On the Road Again, a rap version of it.
I got a flight leaving Red Eye, so I can meet Willie and Callie, so we can do the show out in the valley. Tomorrow I'm off to Cincinnati, and I think he's in Arizona. And damn, it feels good to be back in California. And since I'm on another level now, no longer with the small fishes, I can see myself counting riches, handling my business in Illinois and Indiana, while Willie be touring out through Montana. I'm tripping how my life changed, traveling, going different places, signing autographs for different people and races. And I'm loving every minute of it, all the interviews with the media, and thousands of fans that beating you. Can you imagine the feeling of hearing people sing your songs, performing live at Kentucky and people sang along, and then return home sharing your encounters with friends? Man, I can't wait to get on the road.
On the road again.
Yeah, or even something as small as, okay, say, last option, Dan Aykroyd won't do it. Have Ernie Hudson be the grandfather of...
of, like, one of the characters. Yeah, there's some subtle ways to do tie-in. Like you said, it would have been as simple as a small cameo. Mm-hmm. They didn't have to make a full effort to appear in the movie. And I think then the movie, I think, does a lot better. Mm-hmm. And it gets a lot more, like, credit.
Like, it's getting literally, right, you put Bill Murray talking for 10 seconds in that trailer, all of a sudden those dislikes turn into likes.
They turn into likes. That's all it takes. It's sort of the... If they had tried to make a new Star Wars series with a and redo the original series rather than doing a sequel,
mm-hmm,
it would have been... people would, with a different Luke Skywalker.
What was people's favorite moment in that first trailer was Han Solo walking in and saying, Chewie, we're home.
Chewie, we're home.
And everybody just lost their mind.
And probably the most liked trailer on YouTube's history, opposed to the most unliked.
Yes.
So I don't know when they're going to get, but if you look at the vehicles that have done really well, they've been vehicles that they were continuations of the original. Handoffs. Handoffs is the way to go, not the remakes where you completely just don't acknowledge that the original one existed.
Yeah, it's very rare.
Baywatch movie probably has a better chance of doing well, because there's going to be a Hasselhoff cameo.
And a Pam Anderson cameo.
Yeah, and they're going to appear in it. So there seems to be... And Hasselhoff, I think, has some control still over the Baywatch franchise.
Well, and see, that was something J.J. Abrams even did with the Star Trek reboot, was he tied it into the original by saying, like, it's an alternate dimension by bringing in the old Spock.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, this is just a new timeline, but the old one still exists.
Yes.
Look, old Spock is here.
Most clever way ever.
And new Spock can still, even in the second one, contact old Spock for advice.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hey, in your timeline, did this ever happen? What did y'all do? Things like that. Just just having Spock. It's not even like you got William Shatner. You got Leonard Nimoy. Rest in peace. But
it's breaking news.
Breaking news up in this place.
A little bit more of the death metal break.
Breaker
news!
News! Break your neck!
News! You're gonna definitely break your neck on this news. Fall Out Boy and Missy Elliott to remake the Ghostbusters theme song for the new Ghostbusters movie.
Wow. That... yeah, if you try to break people's necks with news,
that's gonna... No, Missy Elliott part.
Nah, that one, that part, not too bad.
Not sure about Fall Out Boy doing the Ghostbusters theme better than Ray Parker Jr.
I mean, if their target audience for this movie is like 12 to 16 year old girls,
yeah, then yeah, it could be, which is absurd for it being Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
That would be the play.
Just doesn't really fit.
But
I mean, with the all-girl leads, maybe they really are only targeting... They're not obviously not targeting the fans of the old Ghostbusters.
No. It doesn't seem like... Okay, here's a... this is the clip of the original. And by the way, Huey Lewis in the News, Huey Lewis is probably going to get another check scratched if they're remaking the Ghostbusters theme, because he had won a suit with Ray Parker Jr. from the original theme song, because he had charged that it was a copy of his New Drug song. If you listen to Huey Lewis and the News' New Drug next to Ghostbusters, and saying it was the same song, they used his song basically. They just changed the lyrics. Because what happened was, that made it even more scandalous, Ghostbusters, the studio originally wanted Huey Lewis and the News to do the theme song to Ghostbusters.
Oh, so then you know.
And at the time, they were sort of against, they said they really don't want to do theme songs for movies. So they had rejected doing the theme song. But then they had Ray Parker Jr. basically do a Huey Lewis and News song as a Ghostbusters theme. And then what's even crazier, what's even wackier is that after that happened, Huey Lewis and News said, well, okay, we'll cave in when they were asked to do the Back to the Future. Because we were like, the last time they just went ahead and did it anyway, used one of our songs when they asked us and we said no.
We might as well get paid.
We might as well get paid just right up front this time. And then I think they ended up really enjoying being part of the Back to the Future. They did two songs for the first movie, mm-hmm. and they appeared on the Back to the Future Jimmy Kimmel Live Back to the Future anniversary special that they did back in the fall.
2015.
Back to the Future Day.
That 80s hair.
Yeah. Ooh. The neon, they have the neon room. All the light lit up.
Very 80s.
Ray Parker Jr. Yeah. Walking out of the wall. Who
you gonna call? And he's a ghost.
When you need a theme song, who are you going to call? Huey Lewis in the News.
Yeah.
If they don't answer the phone, who are you going to call? Ray Parker Jr.
Something, and he's going to have some people in the background. Who you going to call? Ghostbusters! And then you got like these little kids.
People popping up behind the couch. There's the infamous library scene with the librarian. No ghost. They had all this one was a one that had all the cameos of like Christopher Reeve pops up and people are singing the Ghostbusters theme song. Running through your head. Who can you call? Ghostbusters. Chevy Chase.
Oh, Chevy Chase.
An invisible man sleeping
in your bed. That's a little creepy.
Ray Parker Jr. popping up from under your bed.
After your blanket just got pulled off.
Yeah. I don't know. I think they're going to have an uphill battle, man. Because the original Ghostbusters was the top box office comedy. At the time that it came out, it broke all records for comedies.
1984.
And held that for a long time. Baby, no ghost. Afraid of no ghost. 555-2368. Say that number.
555-2368.
But no area code. Would they have to have an area code? Would they have to have an area code in New York?
And you pause it right on John Candy's face.
John Candy in a pinstripe vest as he is being spooked.
This lady running through her neon house in scantily clad lingerie.
This is the best part. Ray Parker Jr. raised from the ground.
And is coming towards you while you're in your underwear.
And yeah. And really, if that happened, she'd call the police.
Yes. From that neon, she would grab that neon phone so fast.
She would call, if there was a... Let's be honest.
In her lingerie in the middle of the night.
In the middle of the night.
Yes, and starts thrusting his arms towards you.
Not that there's anything that's... I mean,
it's not racial.
It's not just racial.
Who's singing it?
It's just that it's the fact that the lady's going to call the police if this guy comes out from under her bed.
Yes.
And she's going to pick up that neon phone.
Yes. Who you going to call?
More cameos there. I'm not sure who that last two were. Forget their names. Sigourney Weaver and heavy plastered on makeup.
Very heavy makeup. 80s.
my favorite line. Bustin' makes me. I don't care. Fallout Boy is not going to be able to do that better. Now, I would imagine that Missy Elliott's going to do that part.
Do the bustin' makes me feel.
Bustin' good. Makes me. But I just don't know that. I will say once they figured out they were going to rip off Huey Lewis and the News, Ray Parker Jr. did an amazing version.
Mm-hmm.
Of that song. I mean, I don't think Huey Lewis and the News would have done it better than Ray Parker Jr., the Ghostbusters theme song.
Yeah.
Would have been hard to do. But they did an amazing version of the Back to the Future theme song, so I think they landed in the right spot.
It's one of the world may never know.
What it would have been like if Huey Lewis and the News had done that. Yeah, so, but they're about to get another check scratched, I guess, from the movie, from Ghostbusters people, and it'll be interesting.
The list.
Our sequels that we wish would have happened, or we wish that would still happen. In my case, I think I would still like to see Next Generation, the Tombstone, to happen at this point.
I asked you, what would you feel if they did with Next Generation what they did with the original Star Trek, where they basically did a secondary timeline with the same characters, a younger Picard, number one?
I actually thought about that, and I thought actually what I actually more likely believed was maybe Next Generation in this current series,
mm-hmm.
that they would have, because of the time differences, that they could be brought in somehow into what the current series.
Gotcha.
So where that would be a movie.
Bring in Whoopi.
Basically the young Enterprise, the young Kirk, the young Spock.
They go to the old new generation.
Cross paths with the old Next Generation because of some sort of time travel experience.
I could see that.
And they haven't done a full... I'd like to see them do the full on. They go and they kind of talk to Spock in a time...
Actually go to a different dimension or timeline.
And you would think that would be very doable in the Star Trek universe. So that's what I think they should do, is I think after this movie, I think the next movie should be... And then maybe you could get another Next Generation movie spun off mm-hmm. of that somehow.
Yeah.
Like they're doing with the Marvel movies where they'll do crossovers.
Yeah.
So I think there could be a possibility there. And then that would be just a total, like, out-of-the-world, like, unbelievable, like, thing that to kind of freshen things up as they try to attempt the fourth
movie.
Based
on how old Leonard Nimoy is in his timeline, technically Picard would be about the age Patrick Stewart is now.
About where they're at now. Yeah, so I think that could be interesting. I think they could do that. It would be fun. All right, when we come back, I got some agree or disagree from Mr. Johnny Lightfoot from Boy Wonder Broadcast on YouTube.
Woo!
In a second, after we air this fake commercial that we don't have.
The shit is getting real. Oh yes, things getting serious. Dude, did you hear what I said? The shit just got real.
We're back up in it at the Thunderpop Dome. Alright, now... for one number one of Agree or Disagree on this episode number 19 of the Thunderpop Podcast, for you, Johnny Lightfoot.
Star Wars, rumors in your face.
There has been more bad news emerging from the Rogue One, the Star Wars story, a Star Wars story camp today. This is off of a website we call WeGotThisCovered.com. I want to credit them for this article. Not long after we heard that 50% of the film is being reshot, and a new director may even be brought in to supervise the reshoots, we're learning that Disney execs have watered down scenes from the film for fear that they may be too dark for younger audiences. Now, granted that this information is coming from Reddit user who apparently was involved with Gareth Edwards' anthology film.
Mm-hmm.
So while we advise taking it with a grain of salt, it's definitely still looking into it. So my question for you, do you agree or disagree? Is Disney messing this shit up? based on this story. If this story is true, that they're asking him to reshoot a scene with Darth Vader. Apparently, the scene was the scene with Darth Vader. They said that he goes in. Apparently, one scene the studio execs aren't comfortable with features none other than Darth Vader, who has been rumored to have a role in Rogue One Star Wars story for quite some time. Mm-hmm. According to the Reddit user, the scene in question depicts the iconic villain taking out a rebel ground squad. And they said it was so graphic, it was almost like a horror movie. They said in a night scene, Vader absolutely lays waste to a rebel ground squad. The Reddit user says, unfortunately, this is one of the scenes we have to water down. We made it like something from the old slasher horror films. I say, cool, when I hear that. Rebel soldiers who joked about a boogeyman with the magical powers, and then minutes later are absolutely wasted by Darth Vader. So, granted, this is sort of... It might as well be on next door and a bunch of busybodies posting mm-hmm. it with their lost cats. But what do you think, if based on this is true, is Disney messing this shit up?
I disagree.
Disagree with that?
And I was actually talking to a buddy of mine about this like 2 days ago when he brought it up, and he's not really a Star Wars fan, so he was asking me what I thought.
Mm-hmm.
And no, because Disney is a company that... when they hire their creative talent and their directors, whether it be Pixar movies, animated films like their Zootopia, which was fantastic, they're very trustworthy of their creators. Mm-hmm. Disney is really known for getting their people vetted very mm-hmm. intensely before handing them a project.
And they've been that way from the days...
from the days of
Disney. Walt, yeah.
Basically, they're like a company that
part of the culture,
Disney. Right? It's like say you're in Silicon Valley mm-hmm. and you have to bring in some guy who's going to be creating this wonderful new tech device. They're going to vet you. They're going to check, get their sources on you. They're gonna look very thoroughly at everything you've done before they're thinking about giving you something. Once they've got you fully vetted, they hand over the keys. The car is yours. Drive it. Be safe with it, but we trust you.
Mm.
Whereas a company like Fox is very well known to meddle.
Mm-hmm.
Fox is meddlers. They're the ones that turned Josh Trank's Fantastic Four movie mm-hmm. into a shitstorm because they wouldn't let him do his work.
Yeah.
But Disney, I believe in them. I don't think they would go to that extent, especially less than or right about 6 months away from it being out, and they've been working on this for 2 years. If they had noticed any sort of problems, it would have been before 6 months.
Yeah.
If they had been worried and were gonna step in, this would have happened a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Because they're not sleep snoozing.
No.
Good stuff. Okay, number two, actress Samara Weaver, who is from Ash vs. Evil Dead,
mm-hmm.
season one on the Starz channel. Very attractive actress, by the way, was recently dragged into a political hoax as a picture surfaced of her appearing to be beaten up by Trump supporters. Well, she was apparently beaten up, I think it was alleged, by anti-Trump
mm-hmm.
people. And anyway, at a Trump supporter rally. So it was later revealed that it was the actress in fake blood as she appeared on the TV show. It was a photo from her behind the scenes of the TV show. Even though the actress is very upset this happened, she was very upset that it surfaced, and it took a Bruce Campbell tweet to finally get people to figure out that it was the actress from the show. Anyway, she was very upset that this happened. Will it actually benefit her career from the one unwanted exposure?
I mean, anytime your name gets put out there, I mean, as long as it wasn't dragged through the mud and not set straight, but it sounds like it was set straight.
It was set straight.
There's that saying, nope, no press is bad press.
Mm-hmm. So, and her name, I didn't know her name.
I didn't either.
I didn't know who she was, didn't know what she
when
looked like.
When you said the name until you said what she's from, I didn't have a clue what that name was.
Samara Weaver.
So, mm-hmm. no press is bad press.
Yeah. And Samara Weaver, hoping that I can get her as a guest on the show if I say her name enough times.
Yeah, on
the
show. Okay. So 100% agree on that one.
Number three, just recently, you told me that you had forecasted ahead of time that Marvel Films would kill off Captain America in Civil War. And you were shocked that instead it was actually Warner Brothers that had the balls to kill off Superman. Do you think that Captain America being killed is still imminent in the next film, or did him surviving Civil War reset your opinion on the whole matter?
I was actually thinking about this.
I should have worded that different. Since this is agree or disagree, I should ask, is it true that this reset your opinion on the subject? Agree or disagree?
I was thinking about this on my way here, actually. That I usually get these type of things pretty spot on. And I was really surprised.
Yeah.
However, Steve Rogers, Chris Evans is not signed on for very many more Marvel movies to make appearances.
No, and he's even said he wants to get on with his directing career.
However, Sebastian Stan, mm-hmm. who plays the Winter Soldier,
yeah.
is signed on for 9 films.
9 films. Wow.
He's signed for 9
films.
He's in it for the long haul.
He
signed in it all the way through Phase 4.
Wow.
So he's signed on for the last two, Avengers movies in Phase 3, and he's signed on to increase into.
He's
going to
set himself up. He wants to be retired. He wants to retire on Marvel movies.
Exactly. Kind of like, Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah, he's pretty much setting himself up and his kids on Marvel movies.
I still think they're going to go the way the comics went. Eventually, Steve Rogers is gone.
Based on the fact that he's got a shorter length of time on his commits. He has said, actor that he wants to direct.
Mm-hmm. And it lines up perfectly with what transpires after Steve is gone in the comics.
Yeah.
Because after that, Tony Stark feels bad.
Mm-hmm.
And so he gives Captain America's shield to Bucky. And Bucky becomes Captain America.
So there, that would be pretty logical that could happen. If
he's signed on for 9...
He could eventually become Captain America.
Yes.
And that. Do you think that they had maybe had a scenario where he was killed off? And then when they saw Superman was killed off and Superman versus Batman, that they went and restoried it?
It could be, but now I'm thinking they're going more with the Secret Avengers plot line mm-hmm. where he still tells Tony, if you need us, call us. And basically, you're going to have the Avengers front and center, mm-hmm. the Iron Man.
The ones that have signed the agreement and to go on.
They're going
to
be following the government's orders, and then you're going to have Steve's Secret Avengers
underground with Black Panther.
That they only act on things they feel are problems.
Yeah. So hell's going to break loose for Bucky to get broken from the ice.
Oh, yeah. But that's the one thing. So I'll say I disagree on that one. So I haven't changed my mind on that.
Yeah. So you disagree that you actually think that it still happens somewhere along the way.
I still think it does. Now that's the thing about, Martin Freeman. So he's played the government agent in Civil War, and he was the one who wanted Bucky. Mm-hmm. And now Bucky's under Wakanda's protection. Basically, there's going to be, and then now we have Michael B. Jordan coming into the Black Panther movie.
Yeah.
And,
he is.
Yes.
What is his role going to be?
Looking like he's going to be a rival.
That's
a
interesting.
A villain playing Michael B. Jordan. Finally playing his villain.
He's teamed back up with Ryan Coogler. It seems mm-hmm. like a natural progression that Coogler would want to get Michael B. Jordan back in the mix as he's linked up with Marvel and mm-hmm. they work together again because they've been sort of the working partnership that they've had over
but
the last 5 years.
But it's kind of weird because you had Chris Evans, who was the first Fantastic Human Torch, and it kind of ruined him for a little bit.
Yeah.
And then he became Captain America.
Which revitalized him as a superhero.
And then you have Michael B. Jordan,
whose one big miss has been
Fantastic Four. And now Marvel's saying, come here, my son. Let us save you.
Yeah, and now he's going to get a shot, but as a villain.
It's looking like a villain.
Yeah. Do you like Michael B. Jordan as a villain? Because he's just such a likable guy.
Yeah, I'm interested because he's a talented actor. So.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure he could pull it off. But you almost want to see him kind of saved for later, where they can maybe find a hero character for him.
But yeah, they brought him in, and then so they're going to be going on their thing, and then at the same time, Martin Freeman and the government is going to be trying to infiltrate Wakanda.
Yeah,
and get the Winter Soldier back.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, you got to think Wakanda is actually the most intelligent nation in the world, technologically. So I have a feeling he's going to build Bucky some kind of vibranium arm indestructible arm now that he kind of feels bad for what he did.
Do you think if Michael B. Jordan had not already committed to Fantastic Four and had not already been involved in that so recently, would he have been the Black Panther?
I think he could have been, but I was not disappointed with Chadwick Boseman.
He fit perfectly for the role, and in retrospect, looking at that possibility, he probably was a better fit for the role than Michael B. Jordan would have been, even though Michael B. Jordan would have been very interesting in the role, and it's a natural, again, it would have been a natural fit because of Ryan Coogler, mm-hmm. him and Ryan Coogler's relationship with each other, but it seemed like he's going to get to jump on the ride either way in a different role. Interesting stuff. I look forward to seeing that, how that progresses. It's time for thoughts and advice for that booty. Here in
Booty,
gonna get some thoughts, gonna get some advice up in there here in a minute. Oh yeah, Macho Man,
cream of the crop,
breaking that Slim Jim, break that Slim Jim. Oh yeah.
Well, so how many high school boys does it take to change a light bulb?
Want to light up your life?
Yeah,
give me those Slim Jim.
All right. Back up in the Thunder Pop Dome. All right, thoughts and advice for the booty up in this place. Let me tell you something right now. I was talking about how bad I sweat, and I sweat regardless of sweaty yoga. But my thoughts and advice is to the fashion industry that makes our clothing, makes our apparel.
Mm-hmm.
I work in my regular job is I DJ. I'm a mobile DJ and lighting service. I do weddings and private events and parties. Mm-hmm. And I have sometimes I go out and do weddings at like Texas ranches in the middle of the summer, in July.
Oh, yeah.
And I have to dress up sometimes because the formal is the dress. Then I dress up and I'm in a shirt and tie and slacks. And by the time I'm there and I'm set up, I am already soiled, like drenched. And it's not pretty because it stinks, it smells, it's not professional, but I can't help it. Because if I don't have a mobile shower, like if I don't have like Tom Cruise's, like his tour bus that he takes to all movie sets that has a gym and a shower and a Scientology like center like installed in the bus, then I'm not going to be able to go take a shower every half hour. I'm just not going to have that option. So I'm just going to be a stinky ass motherfucker at somebody's wedding. Trying to do a job, you know, trying to be a professional, but smelling like piss, basically, while trying to do that job. And nothing gets the party started better than a sweaty-ass DJ that smells like piss.
Yeah.
Smells like, you know. And so, you know, actually, that might be the worst color. We were talking about in the last episode on the agree or disagree questions about the worst color.
Uh-huh.
And that they'd picked that kind of olive green kind of color. I think it's actually the piss color could be... in the running for worst color.
Yeah.
You think about piss and that, it's not too far off from the color you ended up submitting
as a very dehydrated urine.
Dehydrated urine. I think that color is probably one of the least appealing colors. But at any rate, this is to the fashion apparel industry. When I'm not working and it's just during the week, I'm in running shorts and I'm in dry fit athletic shirt because I can wear that all day and it absorbs my sweat.
Mm-hmm.
It's the what's that? The paper towels that picks up any mess.
Oh, is it Bounty?
Bounty. I wear the Bounty of clothing,
mm-hmm.
the Bounty wipes of shirts and the Bounty wipes of shorts. Because in athletic wear, you can buy dry fit, you can buy quick dry
and
clothing.
It's air fit. There's vintage.
And it's cool now because they actually make like theme shirts in that quick dry material. Mm-hmm. You can go to the store and you can buy a Batman shirt in a quick dry material.
Yep.
You know, you can buy a Superman shirt in a quick dry material. So they even have, I've got a Darth Vader. You've probably seen me wearing my Darth Vader shirt, and it's a quick dry Darth Vader shirt. It's awesome. The one thing they haven't figured out is dress clothes. I need dress clothes and quick,
dry.
From now on, just make all clothing, everything that I need in my everyday life, whether it be pajamas, whether it be dress, like suits, tuxedos, Sunday best, khakis, just make them in quick dry material.
Yeah.
Design them in quick dry material, and I am set. I can dress for any occasion, and I can sweat, and it'll absorb my sweat, just like Bounty.
Yes.
That's my thoughts and advice, going to the fashion apparel industry, quick dry and everything.
Absolutely.
blankets, pillows, make your blankets and pillows and your couches
sheets
out of quick dry material. So when I lay down on the couch and I start getting sweaty, even the couch will absorb me.
Yeah, like, then it's a lot easier to clean too.
Makes it much easier to clean, and everybody's happy because they don't have to see and smell that smell.
Yes.
And in my laundry hamper, that's a different story. When it starts to pile,
I mean, that's expected. Expected odor.
The worst spot is my laundry hamper in August when it's full.
Oh, man.
That would be, if they wanted to really sentence a person to life in prison, they would make him sit in my life, like get in a fetal position.
Midsummer
laundry. Of my laundry. That would be the torture, that when they had the prisoner, like in Alcatraz, go to the hot box, they would just make him go to the laundry hamper in a fetal position and sit in my August laundry.
Alcatraz, the rock. No one has ever escaped from this prison.
Oh, man.
That would be enough to make them not cause any problems in the mess hall the next day. All right, that is the thoughts and advice. Johnny Lightfoot from Boy Wonder Broadcast. Thank you.
Always fun.
Always fun. Thank you so much. Episode 19. We're finally almost a drinking age.
We're growing up.
We're getting close. We're still having to wait at the gas station parking lot.
Yep.
To get some alcohol.
So hey, please, $5.
$5, dude. Let me in. Get me some alcohol. I won't tell. I promise. I'm not a narc.
I bet you aren't.
I'm not 21 Jump Street. Dude.
Dude.
Yeah. If I say I'm not, that means I have to tell you the truth. Because yeah. Police have to tell you if they are or aren't. All right. So, everyone, have a great moment. Chinese New Year. American Flag Day. Whatever. 4th of July. Have a great Green St. Patrick's Day. Have a great Valentine's Day. Have a great Veterans Day, Memorial Day, Groundhog's Day, most importantly. Have
Don't
a great
forget May the 4th.
May the 4th be with you.
Yes.
Have a great, and yeah, have a great Groundhog's Day. I hope the groundhog doesn't fall off the wall like Humpty.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever he does, shows a shadow or...
Maybe hopefully he doesn't get scared of it.
Moons the crowd.
Actually, next year for Groundhog's Day, can the groundhog not come out so we get a little bit longer winter? Because here in Austin, we don't really get a winter.
Yeah, we're kind of sometimes down with a longer winter. And we didn't even get a freeze this year, so nope. The snakes are out on the loose.
Yep.
It's the Austin. By the time you know it, there's going to be a new Austin Cobra.
Oh, yeah.
I was talking to someone about Austin Cobra. Everyone have a great, great, whatever it is. I'm out. And Johnny Lightfoot is gone, too.
Peace.
Peace.
Okay, I lied.
Thunderpop! 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 Oh, Thunderpop!
Yes! Come on! See you later! Huh? Beat it! Hit the bricks! Hit the bricks!
And Thunderpop is a Hit the Bricks production.